Chapter 13.
A strange thing, being a parent. A parent raises a child with the expectation that it's her job to teach the child how to, well, how to do everything. How to eat, live, breathe, work, play, exist. A mother advises her child on how to deal with bullies at the academy, or what streets are safe and what ones aren't, or how to drive a bala-bala cart without crashing it into a wall. The parent teaches these things because the child needs to know. Because the child isn't capable. Not the child's fault, of course. They're born a clean slate. It's the parent's job to put the first writing on the wall. To make sure that writing serves as an instruction manual. To ensure, well, the kid doesn't die trying to figure out how to live. It's hard to get out of that mode. Hard to see when one's child has cast off the mantle of ignorance and figured out how to do things. Or just how to be. And right now, Nora isn't seeing it. Because her son is about to kill them both. She leaps on the speeder bike, and Temin launches back out of the moth's bay doors like a Yogan bat with its wings on fire. She tugs on his arm, points toward the jungle. The rainforest is thick, and it's easy to get lost out there. These stormtroopers aren't wilderness ready. They're not proper speeder pilots. Out among the trees and vines, Temin and Nora will be able to disappear. Maybe even down into the canyon. But Temin doesn't listen. Listening, it seems, is no longer his strong suit. He used to be a good listener. A good kid. Always headstrong, sure. But he listened to his mother. Took her advice. Did what she told him to do. That has changed. Plainly. She tells him to go toward the jungle, and he goes the other way. Temin points the speeder back toward the city. The streets are too narrow. They can take some of the main thoroughfares, yes, whip the speeder down the CBD or across Main 66, but the former will be choked with people, and the latter choked with vehicles and herd animals. She tries to yell at him again, trying to get him to turn back around and head toward the rainforest, but he brushes her off, just as laser fire kicks up mud and stone around them. A glance over her shoulder reveals two speeder bikes coming up fast. The stormtroopers are hunched forward, throttling the speeders to their maximum. Red blaster fire sears the air from underneath the bladed steering vanes at the fore of each vehicle. She yells in Temin's ear, "Incoming!" And he gives her a quick nod, and then cuts the speeder sharply to the right. He takes it over a small berm, and then beneath them is the shattered plasticrete that takes them right down a winding alley. Walls whip past on each side. Nora finds her breath trapped in her lungs. Just a few centimeters one way or another, and they're toast. If she moves even a little bit, the wall will wear down her kneecap or elbow like a macro sander, and that'll be the end of them. Suddenly, the speeder jerks up and over a bundle of wire fencing crossing the alley. Behind them, both the pursuing speeders manage the same jump. One after the other, now in a line, not next to each other. Which means that only one can fire its cannon. A shrewd move by her son. Maybe. As long as they don't die from taking a too sharp turn. Temin does indeed take a sharp turn. Around the bend of an octagonal building. An old bank, she thinks. Which means they're headed toward the markets. Toward the CBD Avenue. There, a wider place to drive, but more dangerous, too. All those people will complicate the equation. Like asteroids floating in wide open space. And the last thing she wants to see is what happens when they clip some poor ship merchant or quilka leaf vendor and turn him into a red spray. Ahead, between a stack of boxes, the way toward the CBD. Blaster fire pocks the boxes. They jump and judder. The turn comes, and Temin doesn't take it. He keeps going straight. Ahead, a low wall. A dead end. Just a pile of junk. More bundles of wire, more crates, a piece of corrugated aluminum. She begins yelling Temin's name. Temin! Temin! But he just gives her a thumbs up. He yells back, "Trust me!" Trust in her son. Trust him to make the right decisions. Trust him not to kill him, her, and those two stormtroopers hot on their tail. The wall approaches fast. Boxes, wire, sheet metal. It's then she realizes he's not going to go straight forward. He's going to take them straight up. One quick shot from the blaster at the four of his speeder, and the aluminum does a quick hop. It slides a bit to the left, creating a shallow ramp. He turns the speeder just so, and next thing Nora knows, her stomach is left somewhere about 3 meters behind them, down on the ground. Nora feels her son tense up, and then turbo thrusters push them forward, fast and hard. The speeder zips up the ramp, over the boxes, and along the top of the short wall. A wall that's scalloped, the concrete shaped with wavy contours, and the speeder follows them like a boat skipping across rollicking tides. They zip fast with sickening dips, and Nora holds on for dear life. Behind them, one of the stormtroopers tries the same move. The front foil catches at the lip of the wall, and the back end of the vehicle flips up and over. The stormtrooper shrieks as he pitches forward, the whole speeder crashing down on him. It bursts into a plume of flame. The other speeder makes the jump. Through the belching fire of the first speeder, it roars, cannon on full auto, peppering the air around them with screaming laser blasts. Tevin cuts to the right. He takes the speeder over a plank sitting catty-corner from the short wall to a taller one, a house with a decrepit rooftop garden long gone unused. They whip past a saggy-bellied, shaggy-chinned Lutrillian sitting in a half-collapsed lawn chair, a half-eaten amphibian in his grip. He barely startles as they zoom past. Temin, she realizes, isn't planning on dropping them down to street level at all. The rooftops. Of course. You want to travel Mira, most people stick to the streets. But Temin and his friends always used the rooftops, making jumps from building to building that would cause Nora to snap her ankle like a piece of brittle driftwood. Temin and the others set up planks and sheets of tin, ropes and balance poles too. He knows the rooftops of this city well. And it occurs to her, this probably isn't the first time he's taken a speeder bike up here either. Her son, she realizes, is a damn good pilot. And a smaller voice chides her. Just as reckless as you, too. Suddenly, a shower of sparks behind them. Her tailbone vibrates as a blaster hit clips the back end of their own speeder. The vehicle starts to wobble and drift just as they cross over another set of planks to an even higher rooftop. But Temin manages to keep it steady. He reaches back, grabs his mother's hands, and pulls her forward, placing both her hands on the handlebar controls. Your turn! He yells, then starts to squirm under her arm. What? She yells back in panic. Ahead, a metal pole thrust up out of a greenhouse at a 45-degree angle. As Temin snakes his way to the back of the speeder, leaving her in control of it, he yells, Meet me at Aunt Esmel's! Temin, no! He jumps off the speeder. She continues to rocket forward. Ahead, a cobbled-together crossing of hull metal between one roof and another. Nora thinks to jam on the brakes, but doing that now, she'd lose too much momentum. Probably drop the front end of the speeder over the edge of the wall and go over with it. And so she does what she can. She accelerates. Behind her, she sees her son spin around the metal bar like a circus performer. When did he learn to do that? She wonders. And then he swings back down, landing right behind the stormtrooper on the Imperial speeder. Nora takes her own jump, crests another roof, and then brakes. The speeder protests the fast deceleration. She cocks the maneuvering controls so that she skids to a halt, parallel to the roof's edge. Her heart sinks when she sees, there on the roof, a stormtrooper, supine and still, and going the other direction. Temin's new ride disappearing back down the way they came. Nora grits her teeth, pivots the vehicle back around. But she hasn't ridden a speeder in years. Everything feels clumsy, and even as she throttles it forward again, the realization hits her like a fist to the chin.
I've lost him.